Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for the bigger picture. Pan Jingyi will be speaking to our guest in just a bit. But just to get some context, we had U.S. markets closed for public holiday yesterday. Asia, of course, seen broadly declining with renewed COVID-19 concerns. And then we have the Malaysian stock market in focus.
Yeah, that's right. Despite the announcement of a 50 billion ringgit economic aid package, is it even enough?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's something we'll pose to Steve and see what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Futures seen up also. Today, of course, is the last day in office. No, well, the second last day in office for President Donald Trump. The inauguration will be Thursday morning, about 1 a.m. Singapore time. Wednesday in the U.S., of course.
Historic, right? Mm-hmm. But all of this, I'm sure, will be impacting markets.
Yeah, for 4 years, you know, that's the change we're looking to.
Pan Jingyi now speaking with Stephen Innes, Chief Market Strategist at Axie. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, good morning, Steve. It's great to chat again. I just want to, you know, start with the locally. You know, we have these 15 billion ringgit economic package coming through from, well, Malaysia when they were announced. And I think, you know, initially we saw a bit of a positive sentiment, but, you know, that after we have the ringgit really going back, just really trading at the 4.05 levels through Monday, slightly lower this morning, but, you know, that, you know, we have seen the ringgit actually being the second only to the South Korean won in terms of being the worst performer in the region on a year-to-date basis. So just want to get your sense, you know, what do you make of all of this?
Well, you know, stimulus is never enough, but in this kind of climate, but I think it's going to help. However, it does bring focus back onto the deficits again, which is a glaring problem in Malaysia. I think overall, looking forward here, I think commodity linkers and those currencies particularly associated with oil prices should do relatively well this year. I don't think oil prices are going to head lower. I think as the reopening narrative continues to see, backed up by this glorious amount of stimulus worldwide, oil should fire higher, and realistically, this should offer support to anybody who's a price taker of oil. However, you know, let's face it, we're still warped, wrapped in this political malaise in Asia, in Malaysia, which is going to continue to be a constant overhang. You know, I still like the ringgit, but I'm not sort of, it's not like one of my favorites. I'd be looking for an appreciation slightly below the 4 level as we move through 2021.
Yeah, well, so Steve, I'm glad you mentioned the oil prices as well, because I think, you know, what we are seeing as well to a large extent is that commodities really been driven by the US dollar move. So just want to get your sense of where do you think the US dollar is going to head, especially right now you're seeing the US dollar weakness, this trend starting to turn a little to start the year. But you do have, on the other hand, just really the commitment of traders reports still really showing that people are betting on the US dollar's demise.
Yeah, that's a problem. I think the immediate future for FX markets is about spaghetti at the wall and clear at the moment on several fronts. I mean, you know, just regarding the overhang from positioning size is one thing, but I think we're going to continue to rehash the taper talk, and I think we're going to continue to rehash higher U.S. yields, which, you know, differentials eventually do become problematic for foreign currencies at some point. We're starting to see the spread between relative U.S. Treasuries and their equivalent euro counterparts migrate to that 150-plus area, which is sort of that point where traders become cognizant. However, lately we've just seen sort of a pareback on the explosion higher in U.S. yields. This is most likely due to Fed Chair Powell's assessment last week, which is quite dovish. And I think for a large degree, markets have pushed back those taper expectations, probably to more towards September and December. However, for me, it still feels like FX are in for another extended first quarter lull. If not the graveyard, I think the euro is going to continue to hash out ranges somewhere around here. Given the fact that U.S. 10 years have run out of steam, we really need to see how the inflation market comes back and whether this is going to drive yields higher. But are these higher yields going to be offset by the higher inflation? Ultimately, my view is yes. I think the U.S. short dollar sentiment is bruised, but it's not broken. I think we're going to address those reflationary issues, and I think that's going to weigh on the dollar forward, not to mention the huge deficit in the U.S. is going to come back in almost an unvirtuous circle. So, I think the dollar sells off in Q2.
Right. So wait and see with the US dollar decline and, of course, 10 years watching that 1.5%. Quick one, Steve. Gold, commodity or currency?
Yeah, it's a currency trade. I mean, it really is. It's just trading very, very much tethered to, you know, U.S. dollar sentiment right now. If you're a bull on the U.S. dollar, you don't want to own gold. But overall, I think gold has sort of reached its peak. I don't see it exceeding 2020 heights simply because the U.S. economy is going to recover and bond yields are going to go higher. And these are two obstacles for gold to push higher above 2020 levels, in my view.
And on the downside, we've seen it test, you know, eyeing that $1,800 per ounce level. You reckon, you know, it's going to be one that's unbroken?
I think it's going to break. I'm targeting more towards 1650 to 1750. I've really pared down my gold expectations. Talked to me 3 months ago when we're in the midst of a blue wave, I would have said 2300. But the way the market sort of evolved and reacted with higher yields to the subtle blue wave, it tells me that gold is not going to fly. But look, the big game changer, in my view, is the vaccines. The vaccine rollout is probably going to provide a pretty good rebound in the economy. So the trade-off here is the economy or inflation. I think we get a burst of inflation somewhere next summer, and then that abates back to the old deflationary realms again. So we might get a quick pop-up in gold, but it probably gives way as we enter the year-end as those inflation pressures start to ebb.
Yeah, so, well, that we certainly have to see. Now, moving to another area, not totally relevant, but certainly a big buyer of gold, looking at China. Now, we've seen, you know, really the dollar offshore yuan. Well, that chart we've tracked on IG, for example, you know, it's on a multi-month downtrend, but it's certainly poking its head, I think, at this point of time out. Now, I just want to get a sense, you know, what do you think is going to be the biggest driver moving forward from Chinese currency? You know, will the catch-up by the rest of the world be one to wait on the yuan or otherwise?
Yeah, it's complicated again because, you know, we've spent much of last year in the trials and tribulations of COVID. We're dealing with core yield curves flipping, either bull steepening or bear steepening, and this has just been a common narrative. I don't think the recent the move on higher U.S. yields right now will preclude the yuan from strengthening. However, I think there's a sense here that the PBOC wants to temper the strength. We've seen some macroprudential measures enter the scrim more than two or three times this year, and this is trying to encourage two-way trade, which is fair enough. I don't think it's going to change the path of direction. I think the yuan continues to trade favorably. You know, looking at the dual mandate objective is really for internal consumption. That means they really don't really care that much, you know, if the yuan strengthens. As a matter of fact, I'd look at the yuan being a positive if you're looking to exceed those dual mandate objectives. So my view here is more liberalization for the yuan, more two-way flows, but ultimately more flow coming into China, getting attracted by, you know, the obvious too big to miss economic trajectories that are going to play through Asian stock markets. Mm-hmm. I expect the rest of Asia to tag along also. I'm pretty bullish Asia on a base level. Even in Malaysia, I still like, although that market continues to hug the KLCI continues to hug the $1,600 level endlessly.
Yes, so Steve here from Axis, bullish on Chinese currency and also Asia markets. Now, last one here for you, Steve. Now, I just want to ask, what do you think it's going to, for the next 3 to 6 months, 1 year, the biggest market risk? It's all about recovery so far, but what do you think could well be the ones to watch out for?
I think, you know, the policy puts that we've got right now are pretty resounding, and I think those are going to continue to – policy puts I'm referring to are the fiscal and stimulus efforts. I think those are going to be pretty resounding, and they're really tampering any volatility as far as systematic selling strategies are concerned. But ultimately, the big risk, in my view, is this new viral variant, and if there's some – chance that the vaccines become non-effective, and this is going to be a huge problem. If we see more mutations of the virus over the next 6 months and the vaccines don't work, that is the ultimate huge risk. Of course, you know, these various outbreaks of COVID around the world, I think we're going to be lingering. We're going to be dealing with these for years to come. I'm sort of looking at the way the market's reacting, sort of sidestepping. Then ultimately, generally, I think the big risks for the markets are basically on two fronts. I think they're both policy-driven. One is the Fed-driven. They could start to increase interest rates on the front end a lot quicker than the market has priced in. And then, obviously, we're going to be dealing with the how we pay for those huge deficits in the U.S., and that's tax. So I think the Biden tax policy is going to come in maybe towards the end of 2021, beginning of 2022, and those are going to be risks for the markets.
We've been speaking with Stephen Innes, Chief Market Strategist at Axie, on The Bigger Picture. Stephen, as always, I appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.